This morning's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be able to share with you this morning. Usually I'm sitting down there in the congregation. It's interesting to see how the many different speakers that we have up here at the front are all different and do things in a slightly different way. You will notice that when Paul speaks, he sometimes reads a few jokes from a book and then will drop the book onto the floor. And to my amazement, a few weeks ago, David Leonard did the same thing. He read a joke from a book and dropped the book onto the floor. Now, I have yet to talk to them about the spiritual significance of such action, but it did remind me of this story. And the story is of a young preacher who was praying for someone at the end of a service for physical healing. And as he was praying for that person, his Bible accidentally fell onto the floor. And that person was miraculously healed. So he believed that in the future, whenever he prayed for somebody to be healed, that he would always throw his Bible onto the floor, believing that this was part and parcel of the healing process. Well, thankfully, we don't have to rely on techniques like that or of any other kind in order to see God at work in our midst. As we continue with the theme of discipleship, thinking especially of the promises of Jesus, as seen in our reading for today, we realize perhaps how far short we have fallen. Some of us may have been in situations where we have made promises that we failed to keep, or have been hurt by promises that people have made to us and didn't keep. And when this happens, it causes a breakdown in trust between two people. And that doesn't make for very good relationships. There's an old cliche that used to be used, especially if somebody owed somebody money and they were speaking to them, they'd say, "Oh, by the way, the check's in the post." Or if they promised to do something for somebody and hadn't got round to doing it, they would say, "You're on my to-do list." And then another one, "Read my lips," which means nothing. Shirley MacLean had this to say about promises. It's useless trying to hold a person to anything he says while he's in love, drunk, or running for public office. And Norman Vincent Peale said, "Promises are like crying babies in a theatre. They should be carried out at once." And human nature being what it is, we fail miserably, but not so with Jesus, who is faithful to the promises he makes to us. And in this brief but very powerful passage that Phil read to us this morning, there are three promises for us to hold on to today. One is the promise of his love, and two, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and three, a promise of a divine relationship with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's look at the first one, which is love. The overriding theme relating to the promises of Jesus is love. Because in verse 15, Jesus declares that if his disciples love him, they will keep his commandments. He emphasizes this fact again in verse 21 when he says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." God's love for any of us is not in question here, as it remains steadfast and sure. But what about our love for him? Do we really love God as much as we should? It is a two-way process. In a marriage relationship, there has to be love, because if there isn't, then that marriage will fall apart. According to statistics for 2015, there were 240,854 marriages. And in that same year, there were 114,720 divorces. That means that about 48% of marriages failed. And so we have to ask the question, why? There may have been many reasons, but the main one would be the lack of love between couples. One Christian couple that I know very well, when asked why their marriage ended up in divorce, the husband said, "Love had died between them." Where there is no love, there is no lasting relationship. That's why Jesus was emphasizing here in this passage the importance of love. And the Apostle Paul emphasizes that same fact again in that well-known passage, 1 Corinthians 13, where he says that even if you have all the gifts in the world, if you have not love, then you are nothing. If we are lacking in love, then our relationship with God is not what it should be. By looking at love in this way and considering the direction of the arrows will help us to get a greater understanding of its meaning in our lives. And it might be easier if we look at them at love vertically there. Because when we think of the L pointing downwards, that reminds us of love's downreach. God's love for you and me as individual people. And Paul emphasizes this again when he says God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why God sent his Son down into this world to redeem us, to set us free, because of his great love for us. And that's summed up in the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And then as we look at the letter O, we see that the arrow there is pointing inwards, which means love's in reach. Because God's love that came down to earth for us needs to reach into our hearts to penetrate our hearts, to change us from within, to make us a people that God wants us to be. And we had the promise of that way back in the book of Ezekiel, where God says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, he was saying there that he would give us a heart in which his spirit could abide. And that's the change that has to take place within each individual person. And then when we have had that change of heart, then we are enabled to love God in a way that we weren't able to before. And so that's why the arrow on the V is pointing upwards, and it's entitled Love's Upreach, because we must love God over and above anything else in the world around us. And that's the way God intended it to be, because when we look back into the Old Testament and see the commandments, we can see there that the first four commandments are our duty towards God, and the last six our duty towards our neighbor. And Jesus summarized these commandments up in this way when he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so that is very, very important, that we love God over and above everything else. But many people find this hard to grasp. And I remember talking to one lady during a mission I was doing, and about this very subject, and she said, I can't do that. She said, I cannot love God more than I love my family. But she had failed to grasp the point that that was not depriving her family. It would have been a blessing to her family, because the more she loved God, then the more she would have been able to love her family. And so it is God who gives us the capacity to love. And that's why the arrow on the E there is pointing outwards. Pointing out into the world in which we live and the people around us, so that we can show love and compassion for them. And as I thought about this, I thought of Isaiah's vision, where he saw the Lord. There in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That vision had a tremendous impact on Isaiah's life, because then a bit later on in verse 5, he said, he saw himself, really. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He saw his own sinfulness. But then when he had his sin purged and cleansed with a live coal from off the altar, he saw the world then in a different light. Because when God said, who shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah immediately responded by saying, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And so God gives us the capacity to love people in this way. And we see this in many different walks of life, and this was really, it's pretty old now, it's the story of David Wilkerson's mission to New York to work amongst gangs of young people, and one of the gang leaders was Nicky Cruz. But the picture there shows Pat Boone instead of David Wilkerson, because he was playing David's part in the film that was made on that book, The Cross and the Switchblade. But as David worked amongst these young people in the Bronx in New York, Nicky said to him on one occasion, he said, preacher, I could kill you. And David's reply to him was, Nicky, even if you did kill me and were to cut me up into 1,000 pieces, he said, each piece would still cry out, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Those words kept ringing in Nicky's ears. He couldn't even sleep at night and those were the words that were a means of bringing him to faith in Christ. And then he was greatly used from then on as a man reaching out to young people and sharing the good news with them. And there's a picture of David Wilkerson now with the transformed Nicky Cruz. That's why Jesus put so much emphasis on love in this passage as he prepared his disciples for their future work and ministry. Because in verse 24 he says, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." There's no point in us saying that we love God if we don't love our fellow human beings. In 1 John 4, verse 20, it says, "For whoever does not love his brother and his sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen." So that is God's love for us. And then moving on to the next promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was preparing his disciples for the time when he would leave them to go back to heaven, so that they could take comfort in knowing that they would not be on their own. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And this promise was again confirmed just before Jesus was taken up into heaven. When he stood there with them on the Mount of Olives, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." I'm sure the disciples were quaking in their boots, or should I say, their sandals, at the thought of Jesus leaving them. For 3 years they had worked together, and Jesus had been to them a counselor, a guide, and a friend during that time. But now he was about to leave them. Just imagine how we would feel if we were in their position. We would be absolutely terrified. Yes, Jesus knew how they were feeling at that particular time. And that's why he said he would send them another counselor, comforter, or helper, who would compensate for his absence from them, enabling them to do what he would have done had he remained with them. After his departure, his disciples were given the Holy Spirit and were moved from being apprentices to full, mature proclaimers of God's love. What happened at Pentecost was the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus here in this passage in John's Gospel. That power that was released upon the disciples then was not just for them, but for each one of us today. When Peter preached his first sermon on the day of Pentecost, he urged the people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And then he said, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off." So let us lay hold of that promise today. The late Jim Reeves summed it up in this way in that well-known song. He said, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." And then the final point is having that divine relationship, the promise of a divine relationship. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." That is the promise of Jesus to all true believers, so that we can experience that divine relationship with him and the Father that he wants us to have. Just imagine the difference it would make if we lived every moment of our lives practicing the presence of Jesus with us. We would be a lot more careful about the things we would say and do, and the places we would frequent. That's how we would be with a human friend, so why not do the same with Jesus? A new Christian could see nothing wrong with his old lifestyle of pornography and watching X-rated films at the cinema, no matter how much his pastor talked to him about it. And in the end, the pastor said, "Now, John, the next time you go to the cinema, I want you to take Jesus with you." And and see how you feel then. And that's what he did. He went to the attendant at the cinema and he said, "Can I have 2 tickets, please?" And the attendant said, "Yes, certainly, but is your friend joining you later?" "Oh, no," he said, "he's here with me. That's the second ticket is for my friend Jesus." "Oh, I don't know if I can do that," said the attendant. "I've never done that before. I think I'll have to have a word with the manager." So the manager was called in, and they had a discussion about it. But in the end, John got his 2 tickets. When he went into the auditorium, he placed 1 ticket on 1 seat, and he said, "Jesus, that's your seat." And he sat down on the next one, with his bucket of popcorn, ready to have an enjoyable evening. But the more he watched the film, the more uncomfortable he became, even to the extent that he had to get up and leave. He was then convinced that this was not what Jesus wanted him to be doing any longer. He was beginning to learn what it meant to have the mind of Christ, which was Paul's desire for the people of Philippi when he said, "Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus." 3 times the Apostle Paul reminds the wayward church at Corinth of their privileged position when he said, "You are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the living God." Here he was encouraging them to get back on track to that place which they had strayed away from. And as we think of this, the key to this divine relationship, which is love, I want to finish by highlighting the promise of Jesus in verse 23, where he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." That is the promise of Jesus to each one of us. It was his promise to the disciples, and it's his promise to each one of us today. Amen.